Survivors of the Florida school shooting are rallying supporters for a national march in Washington next month, calling for gun law reform. Gregory Gibson's son, Galen, was killed in a college shooting in Massachusetts 25 years ago. He joins me now by phone from the US. Gregory, thank you so much for talking to me.
Well, thank you. I'd like to start by saying, first of all, that I'm very sorry that I have to be here and that anyone has to be doing this. But I'm happy to talk to you.
Yeah, it's a difficult subject. Can we start with your son? It was a long time ago now. What happened to your family?
Well, it was indeed, but we should back up a little. My sister died by her own hand in 1978. She was a schizophrenic. She went out to a pawn shop, bought a gun the same day, and shot herself and killed herself. That was 1978. In 1992, my son Galen was attending college and was the random victim of a disturbed fellow student who went on a shooting rampage with a semi-automatic rifle loaded with 30-round magazines.
Did you launch yourself straight into campaigning for gun reform after this? What happened afterwards for you?
Well, I spent a number of years getting over wanting to kill someone myself, going insane, committing suicide. There's there's a broad range of possible reactions to this thing. And I wound up working out my anger and grief by investigating how this thing could have come to pass. And it resulted in my writing a book about the episode, which probably saved my life.
Before this happened to your family, where guns basically meant that you lost two people that you loved, two people that were very close to you, did you think about guns and the role of guns in the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm an American. I hunted as a kid. When I needed to get my hunting license, I needed to get training, and the only people at that time in the late 1950s or early 1960s who provided that were the NRA, and they were just the friendly old guys who taught you how to shoot and hunt. I was in the military. I learned how to, shoot guns. I thought nothing of it. It was just just part of being an American. After this happened to me, I mean, my sister's death was regrettable, but I didn't understand at that time that suicide by a gun is so efficient, and so many people who attempt suicide once and survive never do it again. Suicide by gun is just an awful option that we have provided to disturbed people. After my son was killed, I started thinking about this thing, and I said, now wait a minute, I'm a hunter, and I can even understand having a gun around the house for supposed self-protection, but what in God's name are we doing with military weapons in the hands of juveniles with still developing brains and disturbed individuals?
You rely on the media for coverage of the campaigns you're involved in, and I know you've noted that coverage of shootings have become a kind of media commodity, that there is this circus around this, that everyone plays the same role, the grief, the grieving pictures, the crying, the vigils. You must have a bit of a love-hate relationship with the media and this cycle. How do you view the kind of coverage of these events?
I wish I could say it's getting better. I don't think it is. I think we're still, mass shootings are a commodity. They're almost an entertainment, and it's just the reality. I wish I knew how to break that. I wish I knew how to get past this voyeuristic thing that we have about school shootings. I mean, nobody wants this to happen. Nobody wants this to happen to their kids. And yet we watch it, we sigh, we shake our heads sadly, and we change the channel. This media stuff isn't getting us anywhere, but I don't know what else to do. How am I going to talk to people about this situation? How am I going to get them to put their clickers down, get off their couches, and go out and call their senator? I don't know how else to do it.
So do you have an alternative for how the media could cover these mass shootings differently to try and change the narrative?
Well, it's very interesting. In 1993, the Centers for Disease Control issued a study that was kind of disturbing about guns. They said if you had a gun in your house, you were 2.5 times more likely to have a homicide in your house and nearly 5 times more likely to commit suicide. A few years thereafter, Congress put forth an amendment that basically shut down government-funded studies of gun violence. Absolutely shut it down, and that's still the way it is now. In other words, we are not getting the information that we need to look at this problem rationally as a public health issue. All we're getting is, you know, shouts from one side and shouts from the other.
It's often noted, I'm not the first person to say this in an interview, that after there failed to be any reform after the Sandy Hook shooting, it seems that any hope now has evaporated. But now we're seeing this breakthrough with these articulate and angry teenagers speaking up. Do you have great hope that they could be the game changer here?
Well, this is really interesting, isn't it? As I say, I've been actively doing this for 25 years since my son was killed, and it's been a difficult battle to fight off despair and the sense of defeat because, you know, essentially nothing has changed, but you know that if you give up, they win, and so forth and so on. And listening to these kids from Florida is the first time that I've had a sense of, oh, wait, maybe we're just laying the groundwork for something that we are structurally unable to change in our generation. But these kids, imagine, in their whole lives, they've known nothing but school shootings. They go to school and they practice active shooter drills. These are the kids who may be outraged enough, who may be angry enough to force this cultural shift. Because believe me, it's not going to be just laws. It's going to be an entire cultural shift. And maybe the youth of America are the people who are going to get us to look at our situation with guns in a different way. It might be like a tectonic plate, you know, slippage. These big things move in mysterious ways. You know, this place where these kids got shot, that community got shot. That community is wounded right now. And how long is it going to take until a significant percentage of the population are survivors of gun violence? This is just a thing that's accumulating and accumulating, and at some point, there are going to be enough people who are pissed off enough to demand of their representatives that some changes be made. And I think that I feel right now that that day is closer.
I spoke to a pastor who was very close to the recent shooting recently on the day that that story broke in Australia in our time. And he said something that I got to say, in a country where we've made guns not very easily accessible, where we've had a very significant reaction to guns and there is a bipartisanship around not having these kinds of incidents. And as you would know, we don't have these mass shootings in our schools. He said, you know, you can't, it's about the evil person. You know, he essentially didn't want to buy into the debate, but said, if the person is evil or the person's influenced by this, you know, that is the ultimate problem. This is at the center of your debate, that people say it's about evil people or people going, you know, off in some way, and the guns aren't to blame. How do you counter that?
You're not going to change anybody's mind who's stupid enough to believe something like that, but well, look at your country. You've got as many crazy people as we do, but you don't have as many guns. Gee, what's the result there? I mean, how hard is that to figure out?
So in this long period you've campaigned around these issues, is this the most hopeful you've been watching these young people rise up?
I get hopeful every time and then I just slog ahead. But I've got to say, it feels a little different this time. You know, when Newtown happened, it was, oh, this is so horrific. We must, surely we're going to be revolted enough by this to do it. But this time, when I see those kids, I have a sense of the future. I have a sense of hope, and it just feels a little different. It's horrible that this should have to happen to feel that way. But I think it is the next generation. I think we're laying the groundwork for a cultural shift that will happen a generation from now.
Gregory Gibson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for talking to me.
Gregory Gibson's son, Galen, was killed in a college shooting in Massachusetts 25 years ago. He joined me there via the phone from the US. And if any of this interview has brought up issues for you, you can contact Lifeline 131114.